Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
While incognito in a baseball cap and aviator sunglasses, Frank Castle waits in line at his local liquor store to buy a bottle of Strong Soul Medicine. He thanks the cashier, who takes his spirit home in paper bags. Upon entering his apartment, he sees a figure with a wide-brimmed hat standing in the doorway of his kitchen area. The stranger calls out, "I'm here to take you, Frank. There's been quite a large bounty put on your head, and I'm paid well for my efficiency." It is then that Frank drops the bottle and immediately pulls out a gun and starts firing away. "I only survive because of my efficiency," he mutters as the Punisher is in a fight for his life once again. It's New York City versus Duro. It's Vigilante versus Gunslinger. It's the Punisher versus Cad Bane. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis.
Hi!
It's time. How you doing? It's time for a battle that will leave a lot of property damage where I'm not sure anyone is going to be walking away intact. In one corner, you have the Punisher, a vigilante anti-hero from Marvel Comics who wages a one-man war on crime using lethal force and military tactics. And in the other corner, you have Cad Bane, a notorious and highly skilled bounty hunter from the Star Wars universe. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and this one actually kind of surprised me. I didn't find any trace of this particular battle ever being discussed before. Insanely surprising, not just because the Punisher's that popular, but Cad Bane's really got a cult following as well. This seems like a natural battle to happen, but it didn't. So yet again, the Who Would Win fan base, the Legion of Audience, gets another premier geek culture battle. You are welcome, Ray. I gotta know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I am always surprised to hear when you say nobody's talked about this before, because we were in the boardroom and we knew we were going to do Cad Bane, because Cad Bane, far and away, won the Patreon choice. You can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, join that, and if you're in the $5 or higher category, you get to vote once a month on a character that we have to use in the near future. And Cad Bane was one of the choices, and like everybody voted for him. So we knew he was coming. And when we were in the boardroom, I was shocked as we're trying to figure out who's the appropriate choice to face him, when who else but James Gavsey says, "Hey, Ray, why don't you do the Punisher again?" And in my head, I was like, of course I want to do the Punisher again. I want to do the Punisher every single week. I would do the Punisher versus Who Would Win Show 2025 if they would let me. So, of course, I said yes immediately. And here we are.
You know, I thought I was using that intoxicating mind fog to kind of put you into the exact right position I wanted. And then I realized it's the Punisher, one of my favorites from Marvel Comics, someone who's gone up against Batman in a really cool Marvel and DC crossover. This is going to be an insane battle. And when you have a battle such as this, that millions of people around the world would want to watch, would want to see a clear winner for, you need a judge who's been there and done that and knows how to bring actual franchises to life. So without further ado, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's TV writer, comedian, and writer slash consulting producer for Spirit Rangers on Netflix. It's the creator of Gone Native on Comedy Central Digital. It's the one and only Joey Clift. Joey, welcome back to Who Would Win.
James and Ray, thanks so much for having me. And Legion of Audience, thank you so much for having me back. I've got to say, before I get started, I have to absolutely apologize for the way that I judged the last time that I was in Who Would Win, which I believe was Mr. Fantastic versus Plastic Man. What I did not know at the time is that I was very sick with an illness and very loopy from that illness. So, but I've been tested. I had doctors check me out immediately before that. I'm in clear health. I'm of clear mind. And I really just throw myself at the mercy of the Legion of Audience. And I promise that I will judge this straight down the middle, like I always have before this. And I'm ready to just call it like I see it.
You know, I don't want to say, first of all, I'm glad you're feeling better, but I knew something was up. That just didn't make sense. Yeah, I'm still bitter for losing that battle, by the way. But again, you're Joey Clift. You bring so much to this. You were like newcomer judge of the year for a season ago, what have you. You were a hit with the fans, and they are going to be so insanely excited to have you back in. Now, before we get started, tell us what you've been up to.
So what I've been up to is I've been working on the show Spirit Rangers, which you mentioned. Our third and final season came out earlier this year. I've also been writing on Paw Patrol, which my episodes just started to come out. You know, why isn't Paw Patrol? Why haven't they been used in the Who Would Win universe?
Great question.
Yeah, I've tried.
Who would win in a fight?
Yeah, I've tried. When Ray comes up with suggestions, yeah. They are like, there'll be so many parent groups and government lists we get put on, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that who would win in a fight, the Paw Patrol or Thanos? That's a fight that I want to see.
Oh my gosh.
Who would win discuss.
You know, showdown September, James. That's a challenge. Yeah.
Duly noted.
And other than that, Gone Native, we recently won a Webby Award, which is really great. I flew out to New York for the ceremony. And, you know, I've got to say, every time I step up out into the world, I definitely am doing it with the knowledge that I'm trying to make the Legion of Audience proud. And, you know, I hope that I've done that.
I'd say mission accomplished after your first episode, never mind every other episode. Even when you're sick, you're still an insanely amazing judge. Now, of course, you're familiar with The Punisher. I got to assume that you're a Star Wars fan as well, and not every character you're going to know 100%. I do think this is going to be an interesting battle because it's kind of tech versus weapons, weapons versus this, bounty hunter versus anti-hero. They couldn't get any better. We've got a great judge. We've got Ray. We've got me. We've got Cad Bane. We've got The Punisher. We've got the entire formula for an amazing Who Would Win show yet again. So Ray, with all that being said, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the most well-known skull since Yorick, the Punisher. And representing Star Wars, the bounty hunter who, despite many successes, is always feeling a little blue at the end of the day, Cad Bane.
Really? Really? Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. Again, that's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary Who Would Win versus stand, where you can pose any combination of characters and collectibles against each other in a Who Would Win style battle. And remember to send us pics and also post them on the Who Would Win social media accounts to see if we will actually choose one of your suggestions for an official Who Would Win battle. By the way, you can pose Paw Patrol figurines and collectibles on there very well against Thanos. So let's just see what happens, Legion of Audience. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for The Punisher.
You know, I just gotta say, I got in the mail my Who Would Win stand from Sayword just this week, and I have not taken out of the bag yet, but this is going to my desk at work tomorrow, and I'll be putting on Who Would Win battles to amuse myself. while I grind away. Just want to say, I support it. The Punisher is an anti-hero in the world of Marvel Comics. He was created by Jerry Conway, John Romita Sr., and Ross Andrew, and first appeared in The Amazing Spider-Man, number 129, back in 1974. They just reprinted that, by the way. I bought mine. After returning home from the war, Frank Castle did his best to be a family man and try to put the horrors of the world behind him. But when his wife and child were murdered in the crossfire of a public mob hit, Frank snapped and vowed to kill the guilty so they may never hurt another innocent again. And so he became the Punisher, a one-man army hell-bent on extermination of criminals at all cost. Fun fact, there aren't many people who Frank Castle actually likes. But did you know he has an emotional attachment to one hero in particular? It's true, because while in basic training, he got a first-hand look at being trained by none other than Captain America. And his respect for Cap goes far and wide as he told police who were wearing his symbol that they were wrong to do so and they should look to Steve Rogers for inspiration instead. And during the events of Civil War, he refused to fight back versus Cap, even as he was beating him senseless for killing two people that he was in charge of protecting. So that's something I didn't know before, and that is the Punisher.
Just so many reasons to love the Punisher. It's just so crazy.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite.
He's so cool.
I'm doing the comic book version, of course. Thank you.
Here are the details for Cad Bane. Cad Bane was created by George Lucas and Dave Filoni, making his first appearance in the Star Wars The Clone Wars animated series. He debuted in the season one finale Hostage Crisis, which originally aired on March 20th, 2009. Cad Bane is a renowned bounty hunter in the Star Wars universe, known for his ruthless efficiency and exceptional skills. Hailing from the planet Duro, Bane is distinguished by his blue skin, red eyes, and a wide-brimmed hat. He is equipped with a variety of advanced weapons and gadgets, making him a formidable opponent in combat. Bane's reputation as one of the galaxy's deadliest bounty hunters is well-earned, as he frequently takes on high-risk assignments that other hunters would shy away from. His cunning, tactical mind, and willingness to work for the highest bidder make him a constant threat to the Jedi and their allies during the tumultuous times of the Clone Wars and beyond. And here's an interesting fact about Cad Bane. Did you know that Cad Bane is connected to one of the most intriguing mysteries in Star Wars? It's true. One of the biggest questions asked among true Star Wars connoisseurs is, where/how did Boba Fett get the dent in his helmet? The question would have been answered in an arc of Clone Wars, but it was never produced as the series decided to take a different direction from that particular storyline. The unproduced arc would have seen Boba Fett and Cad Bane team up, but eventually turn on each other, with Bane shooting Fett and denting the helmet. Turns out that Cad Bane not only had a long-term association with Boba Fett, but also had an equal and possibly deeper association with Boba's father, Jango Fett. Turns out the Skywalkers and Palpatines aren't the only ones with a multi-generational story arc in Star Wars. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Joey, do you have any questions before we get started?
I have to say, this is definitely a fight for the ages. I am so curious to see the points that y'all are going to make. One question that I had was for you, James, which was, I believe I have heard the Cad Bane denting Boba Fett story. Because that was not released, does that count as canon?
Great question. Normally, I have a really strong answer for this. I believe it is canon due to the fact that, you know, how Cad Bane actually addressed Boba Fett in the Book of Boba Fett series. I read something about that, how that was like, hey, they were way too familiar. Something was going on. You know, I believe it is canon, although I do not think that's going to be a big factor in today's battle.
And then, Ray, question for you about the Punisher.
Yes.
So you definitely, I'm very familiar with the Punisher. You definitely have painted him as, you know, an anti-hero that is killing the guilty sort of as a means to kind of avenge the death of his family or the murder of his family. You mentioned that he's an emotionless killing machine. Do you think that he has a strong moral compass? I think that's implied by you saying that he refused to fight back against Captain America.
He has the strongest moral compass, which is the craziest thing and why this character is so fun and interesting. In fact, if you ever played the Punisher video game for the Xbox era, a video game generations ago, you're going through, you're torturing bad guys for information, you're killing people, you're just absolutely destroying lives. But if he ever accidentally kills an innocent person, that ends the game immediately. And that's sort of how he would live. Like, as soon as he kills his first innocent person, he's done, because that's not why he is there.
Okay, got it, got it. Okay, cool. That paints a clear picture. Thank you.
All right, let's get this party started. Ray, do what you do. Hit us with your point number one.
I mean, thankfully, Cad Bane is not an innocent person, so I am starting off pretty... Now, if he was facing Paw Patrol, we might be having a different story here. Anyway, point number one for the Punisher is he is a physical hoss. This man is big and strong. He's often portrayed by actors who are around 6'4", 6'5", 250 and above. And that is for good reason. Now, Cad Bane, not the biggest, sleekest physical specimen, often uses long-range attacks as opposed to getting in close hand-to-hand. I believe he is an advanced age at all, but I'll let James talk about that a little bit. Now, the whole deal we got here is that he has classic, Punisher does, big man strength. This is a guy who is like he's not the giant Kali, but he is in the Marvel Universe in many ways the giant Kali, right? He's not 7 feet tall, but he just manhandles people. If he gets his hands on you, even though he doesn't have Steve Rogers super serum strength, he will throw you against a wall and crack the wall. He will beat you to a pulp. That's who the Punisher is. Once he gets his hands on you, you don't tend to get away. He often breaks weapons with the force he uses to hit with. If he hits you with like a hammer, he's probably going to hit you so hard that the handle breaks as he's like going through his follow through. That's the Punisher. I've seen him grab like rifles, spin them around and hit somebody with the butt of the rifle like a baseball bat, shattering the rifle in the process. Now that's a lot of strength right there is what I'm trying to say. I've seen him yank himself out of leather straps. Somebody, you know, kind of tied him to a chair and he's able to rip himself out of that. Multiple different occasions I've seen him do that. Heck, this is a guy who took a 2x4 and he KO'd a bull. Just hit a bull, like from a bullfight, along the head and knocked him out. He also punched down a polar bear as well, lest we forget that wonderful moment from the Garth Ennis series. But he's not just strong, he's fast. He's shockingly fast for a guy his age and his size. He dodged Spider-Man. He is an elite superhero fast character. Well, he was able to dodge Spider-Man, and as they were both flying through the air, he took his pistols out and shot off both of his web shooters. So that way, Spider-Man was sort of nerfed in that moment, and he had to rely just on the super strength and reflexes and everything else because the webs were taken off of the table. That's a pinpoint accuracy as well as a wonderful speed feat. He reacted to Daredevil's baton. Daredevil tried to throw a baton at him, and he just sort of turned and shot it out of midair like it was some sort of a Western thing. It was great. He fought Wolverine in hand-to-hand combat. That's hard to do. It's hard to hang with Wolverine in hand-to-hand combat. The Punisher did it. And not only that, he was able to dodge a lot of Wolverine shots, think it through, and then counterpunch him and hurt him. That's the Punisher. I mean, he's normal human, but like a high amount of normal human. He's also a master of quick draw. I've seen him win several hostage situations where somebody's holding a hostage with their gun or a knife or whatever to him, and he's able to take out the assailant without the other person getting hurt. More on that a little bit later. The last things to talk about here, he literally trains his body to improve his pain tolerance. When he is not fighting crime, he is hurting himself to see how hard his body can get hurt. So he is a one-track mind. He has one thing to do, and that's survive, kill his opponent, and advance. That's what he's there to do. Heck, he had his fingers broken and didn't even scream. Barely let out a reaction at all to having his fingers broken. This two things combined lets him take a beating or levels of violence that would plain out stop anyone else. Anyone else takes the damage the Punisher takes, they go home. The Punisher pushes through it because he has a force of will that forces him to keep going forward, even though his body wishes it could stop. And that is mental as well. He has resisted control from a character named the Puppet Master, who mind controls his victims, and other telepaths as well, just through sheer human will. So that he's got the strength, he's got the speed, and he's got this durability and mental acuity. That's going to put him on a level that Cad Bane might not be ready to handle, and that's my point number one.
Look, the Punisher is an absolute beast of a person. I'd definitely put him a peak human. His mindset just kind of also enhances his ability to take punishment. I wouldn't say he's more durable than a well-trained athlete or military personnel, but his mind lets him take it and keep going on. Definitely can see that. Now, he's about 6'3", 225. That's not a small guy at all. Not overly huge, but it's definitely big. Cad Bane's tall. I don't think he weighs. I think he's probably about 210 or so, and probably close to the same height. So, you know, whatever, if you want to kind of go for a size at that point. Now, Cad Bane has dealt with big and strong before, especially in the Star Wars galaxy. You got your Jedi that have enhanced reflexes and speed and what have you. You've got your Wookiees. You've got your Hutts. You've got all these your Tardosians, I believe. These are the Tridosians, I should say. The bigger, you know, type aliens you see as well. And he has to deal with them. And he deals with them really, really well. So being bigger and stronger and more durable, that's called an everyday thing he has to face in the Star Wars universe in a galaxy so far away. Again, Cad Bane's dodged blaster fire, and he's dodged lightsaber attacks from both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker. Look, if you can dodge their lightsaber attacks, you're doing pretty well. On top of that, let me just make something clear, too. I'm repping Cad Bane from the Clone Wars, because that's when I think he was at his peak, just like the Punisher's at his peak right now. In the Book of Boba Fett, he's about, you know, in his mid to late 70s or equivalent. Lost a step or two. That's cool, but this is the Clone Wars version of him. And that's about it. You know, Cad Bane doesn't really train his physicality as much as he trains his tactics and his reaction time and his ability to use his weapons in different combinations. Let me get to all of that right now for my point number one. For my point number one for Cad Bane, let's just talk about his abilities. All right, listen, Legion of Audience, grab your popcorn because this debate is about to get insanely intense. I don't know if you can tell how excited I am because I'm insanely excited. Okay, first off, let's talk about Cad Bane's fighting abilities. This is a bounty hunter from Duros. He's not just your run-of-the-mill blaster slinger. He's a master of hand-to-hand combat. He's deadly accurate with a variety of blasters and any weapon he puts in his hands. And he moves with crazy agility because of what his weapons can do and his blasters and rocket boots and all that kind of good stuff. Remember that time in the Clone Wars when Bane outmaneuvered Jedi and clone troopers? Like, yeah, I do. That was another day at the office for Cad Bane. Imagine the Punisher trying to keep up with, you know, I don't know, Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi coming at him full blast. If he didn't have, you know, previous knowledge or whatever, he'd be screwed. Let's not forget Bane's top-tier training. This guy didn't just wake up one day and decide to be a badass. He was trained by none other than Jango Fett, the bounty hunter who provided the template for the entire clone army. And Bane's training is insanely comprehensive. Covers everything from combat tactics to survival skills. Picture this. While the Punisher has great military training, look, there's no doubt about that. Bane's kind of got this diverse and extensive training, makes him a jack of all trades and a master of all of them, the world of combat. Whether it's escaping high security prisons, taking down highly skilled Jedi, Bane's versatility in Star Wars is insanely unmatched, and that's really the key to this battle. Now, Bane's abilities aren't just about brute force. He's a master of disguise and deception. This guy can blend in anywhere, strike from the shadows, and that's saying a lot because he doesn't even blend in Star Wars if he's just walking down the hall, but he knows how to make himself highly unseen during a battle. He can disappear. He can pull some cool stealth stuff as well. And all of a sudden, the Punisher, who's not a blouse in the stealth department either, is going to be like, where was this alien-looking dude? Where did he go? That's what Cad Bane does. He can disappear and reappear and get a better position and shoot you from a distance. Speaking of gadgets, Cad Bane's tech game is on point. He's got rocket boots for insane mobility, a wide array of blasters, and enough explosives to make Michael Bay jealous. In the Clone Wars, he uses rocket boots to pull off like crazy daring escapes to get outmaneuver Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is just someone who knows how to use his tech in any way he needs to use it at that point. And also, there's his tactical mind. This is his biggest weapon. It's not just a guy who fights well. He plans. He strategizes. I get that this is a random encounter in neutral location, but Cad Bane has already figured out how to take on people like the Punisher. Hey, someone who's very durable, who's really, really strong, who's got great weapons and a ton of training. Yeah, Cad Bane has already experienced that, took that person on, beat them, got the bounty on him, and then continues to train in his mind and prepare for future battles like that, because that's what Cad Bane does. He's fearless, he does what he has to do to survive, he's ruthless, and he is someone who's got crazy fighting experience. Remember, he's already in his early 40s during the Clone Wars. He's at his peak. He's taken on everything. He is, at that point, the most ruthless, most feared bounty hunter in the Star Wars galaxy. You don't get there by accident. No offense to the Punisher, but this is a completely different animal he's not used to. That's my point number one.
Okay, very, very interesting. Now, one thing that really stuck out in my mind about what you just said is how Cad Bane relies a heck of a lot on planning. He is a bounty hunter, but he doesn't tend to walk into a situation without knowing exactly what he's getting into. Now, the Punisher, to a smaller extent, is like that as well. If you give the Punisher that also important prep time, he's going to make terrible things happen. Who could forget that one great moment in the movie and the comics when he kills the gangster on his 100th birthday and then gets them to chase him out the back door where he has like a World War II medium machine gun set up and he just mows them all down? That's a great moment. I just want to think about that for a second. Oh my goodness, I love me some Punisher movies. I love me some Punisher comics. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that Cad Bane has some good tech. He doesn't have a lightsaber, though, does he? He's got rocket boots. Well, Punisher lives in a world where he's always around Iron Man. He knows what to do against those types of devices. In fact, the devices that you said is nothing that the Punisher couldn't immediately understand and have a plan to take down with whatever he has on his person.
All good stuff, but we got to see what our judge has to say about this. Joey Cliff, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
So I think that you both painted a really great picture of the differences and also like a lot of really great similarities around these two characters. Honestly, it's a very tough fight to call. I think that both of them seem to be masters of hand-to-hand combat, though Cad Bane might have a little bit of a technological advantage. Ray, you brought up a really good point of the Punisher also like hanging with Iron Man and other people with huge tech advantages. That's not necessarily a huge win in Cad Bane's corner. I do have a question for, I think, James and maybe both of you before we maybe move on to the next point, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, James, does Cad Bane have, can you maybe paint a picture for me of experience that Cad Bane has previously had fighting bigger opponents, like perhaps a Wookiee or something like that?
Sure. Well, in his background, his history, he's had to take on a number of bounties where he's had to take on like the Hutts and not just do jobs for the Hutts. There's the Tradotians. I don't know if you remember Empire Strikes Back and that really cool scene where Darth Vader is looking at all of the bounty hunters.
Right.
You know, and there's Boba Fett. There's that guy who looks like a mummy. And there's that reptilian kind of thing with the kind of brownish orange skin. Those are actually just as strong as Wookiees, possibly even a little bit stronger. And he's had to take them on and capture them and bring them in dead or alive.
That's so
he's
in had hand-to-hand a ton combat. Of experience.
Yes. Everything he does is hands-on. He's not someone who's like, hey, I'm going to do this from my ship and hit a button and let this kind of do it or send the droids. He's
always
hands-on.
No, but he tends
hands-on.
To shoot his people at a distance. He doesn't tend to run up close and punch him in the face.
That is actually not correct. He might not punch him, but he does other stuff to get them to up close and personal to get the win.
One more question. Is there a specific type of martial arts in the Star Wars universe that he uses, or is he just like a bar fighter?
No, that's a great question. He's a very skilled fighter. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a lot of military type training, because you got to remember he was trained by Jango Fett.
Got it.
Okay. So, wait a minute, James. Yeah. There's one thing to say. I wouldn't be surprised if he has military training, and saying for a fact he has military training. Isn't there a big difference between I assume he does and I know he does?
I know he was trained by Jango Fett and has crazy badass fighting skills.
Well, yeah, I buy it as like I buy that from the perspective of like Jango Fett and clone troopers have like a really practical style of fighting. They're not going to do roundhouse kicks, but they can like, you know, probably cold cock you pretty hard. And then question for Ray, mm-hmm. What do you picture the Punisher's loadout being in this situation, or what is his stereotypical loadout?
I'm going to talk about that in my point number two.
Okay, great. Honestly, that leads us right into it.
Fantastic. This is why we like having Joey Clift on as a judge. He asks the great questions. Things are heating up. Stay tuned for point number two.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for the Punisher. Let's talk about his skills and his gear, ladies and gentlemen. Joey didn't know it. He led me in perfectly. Obviously, unlike Cad Bane, the Punisher has military training, and that does go a long way. There's a difference between being trained in Jango Fett's trash heap and being trained by Uncle Sam and Captain America. As I mentioned before, huge difference, right? He has all the training that Uncle Sam would honestly give him during originally the Vietnam war. So he fights in the jungles. He can fight in urban environments. This guy can really just do it all. In fact, the Punisher does something, you know, is his war journal, right? We're all familiar with Punisher war journal. Well, he numbers his missions, right? So that way it's just like mission one, mission two, mission three. By the end of it, or towards the back end, one of the highest numbers we've seen in the Punisher War Journal was 22,173. That was the mission that he was on. I think Cad Bane is great. I don't think Cad Bane's been on no 22,000 different life-endangering missions and still coming out, and that was the minimum. He could have done more after that point as well. He wasn't exactly done. So, the Punisher is a master, of course, of all firearms, all hand-to-hand weapons, and improvised weapons as well. This is a guy, if he does not necessarily have a weapon, he can Jason Bourne it up and grab whatever the heck is near him and use it. And we've seen him do that repeatedly. Remember the fight with the Russian? Remember a lot of other fights against bigger, stronger opponents, although that won't be the case here. Whenever he feels like he needs to, he'll grab a pencil, he'll grab a coffee pot, he'll grab whatever he needs to and use it with deadly accuracy whenever he needs to. But the military training really came in handy, right? This is a guy who in a crowded area could figure out where a sniper is located. A sniper takes a shot, he just looks around, he's like, that windowsill right there, that's where the shot came from. That is not just something you learn, right? That is something that you are. And that's who the Punisher is. So it's going to be very hard. You talk about stealth. Obviously, the Punisher, great at stealth as well. He does, despite his size, he sneaks up on people a lot more than you think he should. It's very hard to sneak up on the Punisher. I don't know too many times I've seen anybody do it. So I don't think Cad Bane's getting any surprise attacks in. And if you can't surprise him, you're going to be in trouble, right? One time I saw him win a hostage standoff. I brought that up before. He won a hostage standoff with a headshot holding a pistol while his arms were tied behind his back. So he had a pistol behind his back, was able to headshot the guy from a weird and awkward position and save the hostage. I'm just saying, this guy's got shooting ability. In fact, he hits long-range shots in motion all the time from like 300 meters away. And he'll just, a guy will be on horseback riding off in the distance, bink, and he's down with a headshot. So the Punisher, when he takes the shot, rarely misses. And that is going to be very important for a bullet hell kind of a battle like this one's going to be. One time I saw him on the roof of a building using a minigun. You know, the spinny gun that Jesse Ventura used in Predator? He used that as a sniper rifle. This is how accurate he is. He fired one bullet from the chain gun, shot it down across a street, and took out a guy with a headshot. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. That's one of the craziest. It doesn't seem like a lot, but knowing the mechanics involved, that's insanity to only have the skill to fire one bullet. Anyway, he can also throw knives. He's thrown a knife pinpoint about 50 yards away at night and killed a guy. He's landed perfect knife throws into the barrel of a rifle, into two guys at once with one motion of his arm. And he once hit the OG Iron Man suit right in the eyeball with one of his throwing knives. A martial arts master, CQC, moves. He thinks it all through. He often has a running narrative going on in his head while he's fighting in close combat of how he's doing this. I got to do this. And that's because he understands combat in a way very few people do. And he's very good at disarming. Final thing to talk about, and I got to do it quickly, is his loadout. M16A3 machine gun. He has an M203 grenade launcher under barrel. He carries a Derringer D32 pistol, a big boomy one. His big knife, it's a Gerber Mark II. And a rocket launcher. And this rocket launcher that he often uses has once destroyed a big chunk of Rhino's armor. And if you know anything about Rhino, that is a tough thing to do. And finally, his Punisher outfit as well protects him mostly from bullets and other projectiles that are thrown at him. So he does have, you know, maybe not the tech advantage, but he might still have the gear advantage and easily all the skills he needs to kill with them. And that's my point number two.
All right, again, lots of reasons for the Punisher, but let me kind of put a little things into perspective here. Now, the Punisher's ability to use improvised weapons, actually kind of legendary, as is Cad Bane's. And he doesn't just use improvised weapons. He'll use his surroundings in very in improvised ways as well. This is someone who has a plan going in. He always comes in with a plan. But whenever his plan goes away or he's in a random encounter, what have you, he instantly knows what to do in that situation, assess everything around him, and just use everything to the maximum potential. You know, Punisher, again, is great. but he's got losses, and I'll go into this later, against even minimally, you know, armed tech-based opponents, especially in first encounters. Look, the Punisher's got insane wins, the War General, great series, what have you. Punisher Max is great too, but let's face it, most of his opponents are what are called Terrans, or Earth-based opponents with, you know, conventional weaponry and what have you. Not to put them down or to say they're not worthwhile, but they're not really even close to what Cad Bane can do, never mind what Cad Bane encounters in the Star Wars galaxy. You know, and I think the Punisher is wearing some type of body armor. I'll even go as so far as to say maybe it can tank one shot from a blaster, maybe two. I doubt it though, but it's not something where he can just stay there and take it and just be impervious to what Cad Bane is gonna be firing. All right, let me get to my point number two and answer Joey's questions. You know, let's talk about Cad Bane's weapons and tech. And he's got a lot of stuff on him at all times. Now, first of all, he's got his signature weapons. They're called these dual LL-30 blaster pistols. They look like Old West, you know, six shooters, but they're much more powerful with much more ammo than just six shots. In the episode Hostage Crisis, Cad Bane uses these blasters. It's really cool. With insanely deadly precision, he takes down Senate commandos. What's important to know is that these Senate commandos were wearing super durable armor. And this is while, you know, he was holding members of the Galactic Senate hostage. So he's taking out people. He's doing this. He's holding members hostage. He's also got this, what's called a Galar 15 blaster carbine, which he keeps in a holster on his back. That's just a more heavy powered kind of like shotgun kind of thing that can go through armor and what have you. Insanely powerful. He's got a breathing apparatus, and this is important because he can, you know, breathe in different types of environments. And that's the thing in the Star Wars universe. You never know where you're facing off against a gas attack or underwater or what have you, but he doesn't have a problem. He's got his tubes coming from his mouth, literally from his mouth into his breathing apparatus, and that's super durable. But the cool part is that gas attacks only won't affect him thanks to that, but that he's got gas bombs himself and gas grenades that he can use. And these things work really, really well. He used one to actually knock out Anakin Skywalker and have a win over Anakin Skywalker. Again, talking about how he had to get up close to Anakin Skywalker, fight him, you know, what have you, get to close combat, I should say, drop that bomb without Anakin Skywalker even noticing it was dropped. Gas comes in, he breathes in, he's knocked out, Cad Bane standing over him victorious. That was awesome. He's, of course, got his rocket boots. And these provide enhanced mobility and really cool escape capabilities, so he's insanely hard to hit as a target. Again, Obi-Wan Kenobi couldn't do it either. In Children of the Force, Bane uses rocket boots to outmaneuver Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano at the same time while he's fighting both of them. He's fighting Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano, just to put that in perspective. He's got these gauntlet vibro blades. These are retractable blades. They're used for close combat. They can cut through anything. They are horrible. He is a nasty guy. He used them in this episode called The Box, where he competes against other bounty hunters, and he uses these blades to just kill and dispatch opponents in hand-to-hand really quick. This is during the Clone Wars CGI series that kids are watching. It's crazy. He's got stun gauntlets. These can deliver powerful shocks and attacks. And just a note, the Punisher has been taken out by electrical attacks before, so just put that out there. He's got a flamethrower gauntlet, because why not? It's Star Wars. It's not Star Wars unless you can shoot flames out of your gauntlet, whatever. In an episode called Crisis on Naboo, Bane uses that flamethrower to fend off Jedi and clone troopers, and he's just creating chaos and cover, you know, and just creating flames everywhere while he's doing what he needs to do. He's got cables and grappling hooks because, you know, as you're doing all this cool stuff in the Star Wars universe with this high-tech stuff and vibro blades and blasters, why not have a grappling hook with cables? But he does it, and he's got one, and he uses it really well because he can just tie people up with it. He flies off, grabs them with that grappling hook, flies off with them, and just can kind of, you know, incapacitate someone very, very quickly. He's got thermal detonators. We've seen this in Star Wars. Of course, Cad Bane has them. He uses them for explosive assaults, strategic demolitions. In Holocron Heist, another episode, he plants these explosives while he's fighting the Jedi in such a way where they can't even see he did it. He's using the sleight of hand. All of a sudden, they go off, and the Jedi are just getting thrashed. Look, he's also got energy shields. Now, this is a big one. These provide, you know, I wouldn't say constant protection, but these shields actually can go up, and they give him at least 5 to 10 seconds of full body protection against attacks. They don't last forever, but he does know how to use them strategically. He's really cool. Look, the really cool thing about this, Cad Bane's kind of got like a Batman thing going for him. Let me explain. Batman can use any of his tech in his utility belt or whatever's on him like a ninja uses all of their equipment on them, throwing swords, knives, sword, whatever, just in, you know, unison, one after the other in a beautiful way. Cad Bane can do the same thing with all of his tech. But the real thing that he has with him, this is cool, he's got his ace up his sleeve. It's his trusted droid ally called Toto 360. And Toto 360, his assistant, it's his fighting partner. It's his weapons holder. It's a proxy for Cad Bane. Look, whatever he needs, here comes Toto, who's going to put himself in harm's way so Cad Bane can do it. Not always willingly, but he'll do it. And that's an extra thing that Cad Bane brings to the table. It's his trusty droid flying assistant that's with him at all times. Look, this guy's a badass. Punisher's awesome, but I don't think he's quite fought against someone like Cad Bane. That's my point number two.
All right. Well, I mean, you're talking about this robot, you know, and this robot, he was destroyed at one point by Cad Bane. So I don't, you know, is he even here in this particular battle? I don't even know. Cad Bane killed him. Now you talk about 5 to 10 seconds of laser grid defense or whatever. Wow. 5 to 10 seconds against somebody going full auto with a heavy machine gun. Boy, that'll last you about 5 to 10 seconds and then you're dead. If it was 5 to 10 hours, maybe it would mean something. But 5 seconds of defense against the Punisher, as unrelenting as he is probably not enough to get the job done. And if you are counting on that defense, you are in trouble. And let's not forget, Cad Bane is very arrogant. Cad Bane thinks very highly of himself and oftentimes will underestimate or play with his opponent. He's been known to do that. Is that a thing that you think works against the Punisher? Do you think the Punisher is a guy to take lightly? Do you think the Punisher is a guy to leave any opening for at all because you're so arrogant? That's a huge problem for Cad Bane, because the second he takes his foot off the proverbial gas, he's going to get gassed. And let's not forget how Cad Bane died. Who killed Cad Bane? Bubba Fett. And who did Bubba Fett lose to on the Who Would Win show? NFL Super Pro, ladies and gentlemen. And I will say right now on the record that the Punisher beats NFL Super Pro pretty darn easily. And if Bubba Fett, and we're going transitive property here, but Frank Castle stomps Cad Bane based on that alone. And the last thing I want to talk about, Anakin Skywalker with the gas. Anakin Skywalker becomes the greatest fighter in Darth Vader, but it is Anakin Skywalker phase. He's hot-headed. He's not as savvy as Frank Castle is, who's gotten himself out of rooms that were being gassed at the times because he's dealt with that situation before. Anakin most clearly had not.
Interesting stuff all around. Look, we are at the turning point. Joey, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what's the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
So I think that both of you have done such an effective job of painting this as such an even match. You know, I think that you could really look at Cad Bane in a lot of ways as the Star Wars equivalent of the Punisher. Something that I think is so interesting is the difference between the two characters is that Punisher, Ray, you mentioned that he is somebody that, you know, like fights with some level of moral compass, and he has a drive to him as to why he fights. Whereas Cad Bane is just doing it for the money. He does not care who he kills. So I think that that is something that could play into the future fight. I had a couple of questions and points that all of you have made. I'll keep them really quick. I believe it was mentioned by Ray that the Punisher fought Wolverine. Did he beat Wolverine in that fight?
Punisher has 100% beaten Wolverine in that particular fight. I believe it was a standoff. But if you're asking, does the Punisher beat Wolverine in fights? The answer is yes. Now, does he lose to him as well? That also does happen, but the problem is the Punisher usually gets away anyway.
Okay, great. So that's a good question. So the Punisher and Wolverine, I think thinking of them as being, you know, a little bit on equal footing on fights, or they go back and forth. It's not a squash in one end or the other. That's really good to know. And then James, a couple questions about Cad Bane. You mentioned that he has a breathing apparatus. Can he breathe oxygen without his apparatus?
That's a great question. I think he can, but I think it would take a while for him to start be affected by it. I believe the understanding is that his planet, it's not the same type of atmosphere. So he has that with him. It's also something that allows him to kind of function underwater as well. So I'm not sure if it's really something he has because he's like, I don't know what's about to happen. I need to be prepared for everything. He is seen a number of times like on a Jedi ship without it, and he's absolutely fine. So I believe it's more along the lines of, hey, just in case I need it, I've got it.
Okay, so that's good to know. And then you mentioned that Cad Bane has electrical attacks. I apologize, I was taking a lot of notes. Could you expand on his electrical abilities a little bit?
Sure. So they're not, I wouldn't describe them as like Electro, where he's shooting continuous pulses of electricity from his hands for extended period of times. These are things that he uses to catch people by surprise when they get in close. You know, it's something that he can shoot through his, you know, parts of the tech he's wearing. It's super high voltage, but it's for a very short burst.
So it's, think of it as like that's his taser, basically.
Correct. But a taser that could take out like Jedi.
Okay, got it. And then does Cad Bane, I know that you mentioned that he has an electrical shield. Does he have body armor aside from that? Or is it just kind of cloak and the electrical shield is sort of his, that's his armor that he uses?
Got it. So just like the Punisher, Cad Bane does have items of clothing on him, like his jacket, something, the stuff he wears underneath him that is insanely durable. It's highly resistant to being punctured and can take, you know, laser blasts to, I would say, to the same degree that the Punisher could. So it's not like, I think their durability in terms of those type of attacks, like if it's a laser blast or what have you, I think they're on equal footing with that.
Okay, great. That's all good to know. I feel like I'm asking so many questions on this particular battle because these characters are so closely matched. I really feel like this is going to come down to the wire, and I'm so excited to hear both of your third points so I can formulate this battle.
I love it. This is what we do. All right, stay tuned, Legion of Audience, because things are about to heat up. We'll be right back with point number three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is summertime, and that means get-togethers. It means swimsuit weather, and HelloFresh has got you covered. Why don't you make your home the hangout place this summer with crowd-pleasing eats from a backyard bratwurst bar to tangy key lime pie? HelloFresh Market makes summer entertaining a cinch for you. And let's face it, you want to eat well this summer, right? If you're going to be showing off your body, potentially. Well, HelloFresh's menu features calorie smart and protein smart lunch and dinner options, plus new vegan dinners to choose from as well, so you get some variety. HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavorful recipes that leave you feeling satisfied. And let's say, for example, you want dinner fast. You could just get it delivered, but let's face facts, that's not always fast, is it? But you can think of HelloFresh. With their fast and fresh recipes, they're going to be ready in just 15 minutes or less. Plus, HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout. What's the deal? I've used HelloFresh in the past. I enjoy getting a box of meals sent to me because I like going on the website or the app or however you choose to do it, right? And I like to go on there and I like to look through all the meals. And HelloFresh has a ton of meals to pick from. And I like to pick things that I've never made before, right? I like to pick dishes that blow my mind. Like I look at the picture and I say, I don't know how I could possibly make that. I can't even conceive of what that is. And then I order it, and then I do it. And that's the way that you help improve yourself, right? Improve your knowledge base. Reach out with food. It's possible with HelloFresh. I will speak to that myself. Go to HelloFresh.com/WWW50 and use code WW50 for 50% off plus free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/WWW50 using code WW50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
It's a great deal for some great food with America's number one meal kit. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
It's time to talk about point number three, which is some of the Punisher's biggest wins against biggest opponents. You knew it was going to happen eventually. This is an important part of any Punisher thing because he takes being a regular human who's just really well-trained and has an indomitable spirit and lots of guns, and he goes toe-to-toe with the biggest characters in Marvel Comics kind of on the regular, you know? And if Cad Bane was to suddenly walk up to the Emperor and take him out, that would be sort of the equivalent, but I don't think he ever did that. He takes out Pukey Jedi, you know, and doesn't really step to anybody that good. I'll let James refute that. I don't want to bother. The point I'm trying to make here is the Wolverine story. He got Wolverine, my favorite Garth Ennis comic with him in the Marvel Knight series is when he got Wolverine into the sewers and he was able to surprise Wolverine, which already, like, good job. He hits him with a shotgun blast to the face, revealing his metal adamantium skull, at which point he was able to drop him for a second and then run him over with a steamroller and then run away, because he knew that fighting the Wolverine one-on-one in that moment was not going to work. And this is kind of who he is. He's a stick and move, hit real hard and real brutally, and then take a step back and then reassess the situation over and over again. That's what's kept him alive. Heck, one time he took down Daredevil with a sonic attack, right? And then he tied a gun to Daredevil's hand and said, "You don't like what I'm doing, kill me." Oh, you can't, because you have a moral compass and you can't kill people even if they're guilty. I don't have that problem. Once I establish somebody is bad, I can kill them with no remorse whatsoever. We'll get to that in a little bit. Deadpool. Punisher has multiple wins against Deadpool. At one point, he cut Deadpool into several pieces and put all those pieces into different vibranium jars to prevent him from regenerating. Fantastic. He once killed Nick Fury after Nick Fury was brainwashed in a very recent comic that hasn't even wrapped up yet called Get Fury. Takes place, it's another Garth Ennis. It takes place during the Vietnam War, where Frank Castle is being sent on a one-man mission behind enemy lines to kill Nick Fury before he spills the secrets to the Viet Cong of everything that he's been involved in. It's pretty phenomenal so far, but he will kill Nick Fury. Heck, he once defeated Ghost Rider. I'm sorry, Ghost Rider, ethereal Ghost Rider. What happened? A Ghost Rider hit him with the penance stare and said, "I'm going to show you everything you've done and you're going to feel terrible." And the problem came because Frank didn't feel terrible about any of it. He felt great. And Ghost Rider's like, "Hold on a sec. You're supposed to do something right now." And he's like, "I don't even feel bad." Then used Ghost Rider's own chains to beat him silly. That is a cosmic level entity that the Punisher brought down, right? In fact, he has a crossover win, Punisher does, against a character named Batman. Pretty big deal. Now, it was the Azrael version, but he himself used a gas bomb to get the KO. And that's how I know these gas bombs aren't going to work against him. It's what he uses. He's prepared for it on both sides. He's beaten the Red Hulk before using the Hulkbuster armor. Heck, he's the guy in DC Comics who showed up in a crossover and made the Joker stop laughing. The Joker, like, grabbed Punisher's gun, put it to his head, and said, "Haha, what are you going to do, shoot me?" And the Punisher's like, "Yup." And the Joker's like, "Oh, wait, this guy's serious. Hold on. He's actually going to kill me. Please stop." But he's also vindictive and wild. This is a guy who held Archie from the Archie comics at gunpoint. And in his own comics, he's killed the entire Marvel Universe twice. He's killed Cyclops, Hawkeye, Jubilee, Spider-Man, Venom, Human Torch, Kingpin, Doctor Doom, and even Captain America in this version. And he even killed Bruce Banner slash the Hulk. In his own universe and in these crossovers, he's dominating. He's crushing people because Frank Castle ain't nobody to mess with. And it doesn't matter how big and bad you are. All he has to do is figure out your weakness and use it against you. And I'm going to talk in my rebuttal to James's point number 3, exactly what the weakness is of Cad Bane and how Punisher will use it to win. That's my point number 3.
Just like Ray Sicanus to try to sneak in another point number 4 into this battle. Okay, look, Punisher does have some big wins against actual Batman, what I call Bruce Wayne Batman. He got knocked down with one big shot. And once he realized Batman could, like, just crush him and was going to, like, make sure he couldn't take out the Joker, what did the Punisher do? He strategically left. He said, "You can have Gotham, I'm out." This is something that the Punisher does quite a bit when he doesn't have previous knowledge of the person or prior knowledge or time to prepare. And at the very least, it's not in a neutral location that favors no one in the battle. He usually has all of those things for him. You know, the Hulkbuster stuff, that didn't just come to him from out of nowhere. These wins against Wolverine, the impressive ones. Listen, these are all things where he had to have that previous knowledge. He knew of his opponent. He knew what to do. He had time to plan and prepare and kind of prep up for it. That's not the case with Cad Bane. Again, he likes to retreat if he's getting overwhelmed, and that's a smart thing to do. And let me explain why that may happen here or why he may just be over his head with all of this. So let me kind of get to what I need to be saying about this for my point number 3. And my point number 3, let's talk about the Punisher's weaknesses, Cad Bane's big wins, and how this fight's going to go down. Look, you know, we've said this before. Any character that's had decades of history, just like the Punisher. Well, he's got almost like 50 years of history right now. They're going to have a lot of great wins. They're also going to have a lot of big losses as well. And I'm not going to say, well, he lost to this person and this person, this person. What I'm going to do is be very, very specific and say, like, which kind of characters he lost to that kind of have something in common with Cad Bane. So in terms of this, you know, the weaknesses he has are kind of interesting. He lacks the advanced technology and kind of know how to deal with advanced technology that he hasn't dealt with before. And sure, he's dealt with Iron Man. He's dealt with these other opponents. But he's also got these big losses to them as well. And Cad Bane always employs rocket boots, high-tech blasters, various gadgets, the gas stuff, all this stuff that gives him this mobility and versatility. And the Punisher kind of relies on more traditional firearms and weapons, meaning he's going to have a real struggle to keep up with Cad Bane, who can outmaneuver Jedi coming at him two at a time, where all of a sudden Punisher doesn't have rocket boots, so he's going to be trying to hit a really elusive moving target from far away. By the way, Cad Bane can hit the Punisher from a very far distance as well, so the range there is not going to be a big deal. You know, this is why Daredevil, Black Widow, and Spider-Man have beaten the Punisher a number of times. It's really because they're insanely maneuverable, and they can outmaneuver the Punisher. As great as he is, again, he's peak human. He's not moving like a Spider-Man or even a Daredevil in terms of agility. He'll move fast, especially for a big guy, but he's not moving crazy fast. He has a real hard time dealing with anyone who can be very, very maneuverable. That's what Cad Bane can do. Now, the Punisher also relies a lot on his military training, that physical condition, those combat skills. These attributes make him really, really cool and a badass in Marvel. But here's the thing. He's also physically outmatched by foes who possess any type of tech that enhance not just maneuverability, but firepower, strength, whatever that is. These are all things that Cad Bane can do. Now, in terms of those kind of characters he's lost to, as pertained for this battle, he lost to a character named Jigsaw. This is his main nemesis. But this one, Jigsaw, who's typically a crime boss, you know, and a physical threat as a peak human as well, he acquired some advanced military-grade weaponry and managed to outfight and maneuver and defeat the Punisher. It's not like he had Iron Man stuff on. He had some little pieces of tech that enhanced his speed, a little bit of his strength, and then he was outfighting and then took out the Punisher. Norman Osborn, his Iron Patriot armor. You know, hey, Punisher's fought Iron Man before. That's cool. But evidently, when Norman Osborn put on similar armor and was Iron Patriot, he easily could take out the Punisher. And this one, I'm not happy to say it because I really like the Punisher. Dr. Octopus. You know, he's got those mechanical tentacles. He proved too much for Frank Castle. And all of the Punisher's, conventional weapons, they just weren't effective against Doc Ock. So Doc Ock got the win over the Punisher. Oh, I hate saying that, but that's just a fact. Now, that means that Cad Bane, who brings similar type of tech to this battle and know-how and knowing how to use it in all these different ways, he's going to be way too much for the Punisher. Now, let's look at some of Cad Bane's big accomplishments. One time he was tasked with stealing a Jedi holocron. That's, you know, something, some, you know, object that contains a lot of the Jedi history and what have you. And Bane somehow secured it, you know, got it, went to the Jedi Temple, got it, didn't know who he was going to be facing off. He did know a little bit about the Jedi Temple layout, but he didn't know who was going to be there. And all of a sudden, he's facing off against Ahsoka Tano and Anakin Skywalker. He had to outmaneuver both of them at the same time while stealing it. And he did, and then still knocked out Anakin Skywalker with the gas and got out of there. That is pretty insane. During the Battle of Devaron, that's just a cool thing I want to say, Bane was hired by Count Dooku to capture the Jedi Council member Master Bola Ropal. Not only did he succeed, he also managed to take Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano hostage. That's crazy. He could capture two insanely powerful Jedi. That's just a testament to his combat capabilities. He didn't know he was going to have to take him hostage because they got in his way, and he's like, got it, I'll take him out as I capture this other Jedi. That is insane. And that doesn't include the time he had to face off against Obi-Wan Kenobi and another Jedi Master named Quinlan Voss. And despite being outnumbered and up against two of the most skilled Jedi out there, Cad Bane held his own for a long time against them. And I think he even took out Quinlan Voss as well. And again, there's that one little thing, you know, that time he beat Anakin Skywalker and completely beat him and then rendered him unconscious. That is a big deal. So this is how the fight's going to go down. You know, Bane's maneuverability and agility, his advanced gadgetry, his weapons, they're going to come into play immediately. He's going to use his rocket boots. He's going to gain the high ground, which is a thing in Star Wars. This is going to make it really difficult for the Punisher to get a clear shot. He's going to use his dual blasters. He's going to, and there's rapid fire, precision precision fire kind of weapons. He's going to keep Castle on the defensive the whole time. He's going to force him to seek cover and limit his ability to mount an effective counterattack. This is just something he does all the time in the Clone Wars. Now, the Punisher, of course, he's armed with great weapons, but they're all conventional arsenal kind of weapons stuff, you know, explosives, whatever, all stuff that Cad Bane has seen many, many times. And this is not going to do anything against Cad Bane's more sophisticated weaponry and Cad Bane's tactics. Again, he's got extensive experience dealing with a wide variety of opponents. I'm talking the highly skilled Jedi. I'm talking about other races of beings who put the Punisher to shame. I'm talking about physically powerful opponents, the whole thing. This is someone who's going to use his gadgets, stun grenades, energy shields, and use them the same way Batman uses all of his gadgets. He's taken down and captured more powerful opponents than the Punisher and killed more powerful opponents than him as well. And that's what's going to happen here. That's my point number three.
Where do you even get off, James, saying Cad Bane is suddenly going to lay down this arsenal of firepower against Punisher and pin him down for moment one? Why does Cad Bane in this fight suddenly get the drop on the Punisher? That's not something anyone ever does. The Punisher tends to get the drop on his opponents, not the other way around. And Anakin Skywalker is a highly beatable character, depending on when in his timeline you are fighting him. And that's where Cad Bane, you could make these claims, but Cad Bane is fighting Anakin in a very beatable part of his timeline. I would choose to fight Anakin Skywalker in the pod race era, and I would kick the crap out of him, I'll be honest with you. Now look, you keep saying Cad Bane is using tech Frank can't conceive of. And then you say, you know, rocket boots or gas bombs or things Frank himself has used in the Marvel Universe himself. I don't think there's one piece of tech you've described in any measure that Frank hasn't even not just seen, but used personally. And you talk about a taser attack. Frank Castle's been electrocuted in torture sessions a lot, and he always pushes through it. It doesn't really affect him like it would a normally untrained human being. So this electricity attack is barely going to phase him, much less drop him. And you mentioned a long-range attack where he's going to fly around. That's exactly where Frank Castle wants you. He's going to pull out his rifle and pick you off from a distance. It doesn't matter how fast you're flying. If he can hit Spider-Man at a distance who's web-swinging through the air, he can figure out the direction Cad Bane is going. Final thought here. Punisher likes to attack the one weakness that he can see. And even in a first-time example, those tubes on the side of Cad Bane's head really stick out. He's going to figure out in about 1.3 seconds that those are breathing tubes of some kind and that Cad Bane is going to struggle in the atmosphere that they are fighting without them. So he is going to find a way to get in close with Cad Bane where he will have the physical advantage, the strength advantage, and honestly, the martial arts advantage as well. He's going to rip those tubes out. And he might even have to take a bullet or something in order to do so, but that's okay because Frank will push through that pain, rip those tubes out, throw Cad Bane in a Hulk Hogan era headlock, and push him down with a knockout, quite honestly.
A Hulk Hogan era headlock.
Like the one he did to Richard Belzer on live television.
That was a variation of a guillotine choke and neck crank. How dare you try to pop into this brace that came. All right.
I'm saying Cad Bane is the Richard Belzer of Star Wars.
All right, listen, Joey, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Joey has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we are going with a patron who's been with us for a long time, but just recently upped his game and went from $1 to $5. Sorry if I'm outing you for that. But Awkward Ally, you know you're on my side. You know I'm on your side. Let's do this.
Ooh, Awkward Ally. Okay, let's go up against someone as socially awkward as Ray Stakanis. Let's have you go up against an alien queen.
An alien queen versus Awkward Ally. Now, this is phenomenal because what's going to happen is the alien queen is going to start, like, laying the eggs and is going to start, like, doing the little howling thing and whisking around. Although the alien queens don't move around a whole heck of a lot, do they? No, they do not. But Awkward Ally has seen the movies. Awkward Ally has seen how Bruce Campbell's Ash from Army of Darkness on an episode of Who Would Win Show has defeated the Alien Queen in a Shocktober classic matchup. And he's going to know that all he has to do to win this battle is cut his hand off, attach a chainsaw onto it, find a shotgun, hide in the vents from the queen, and then stick and move and shoot, avoiding the acid blood often using other pieces of himself as bait. The thing that Awkward Ally knows is he can get it done. If it worked for Ash, it'll work for Awkward Ally. And that it does seem like he's asking a lot, but I ask a lot. And Awkward Ally always answers the call. You get this win, the same way Ash did in that episode.
You're asking for Awkward Ally to somehow sever one of his hands and in his place attach a chainsaw in order to get
That's
this.
Right.
Got it. Got it. This is...
Yeah, the queen should have really attacked sooner.
I think so. There's some time here. You know, you got to stop the bleeding. There's possibly some painkillers. Okay. Well done, Awkward Ally. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. All right, Joey, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between the Punisher and Cad Bane.
There's so much pressure on this fight. Both of you have done such a great job of explaining the strengths and weaknesses of both of these characters. I gotta say, once again, I'm very nervous. I throw my decision at the legs of the Legion of Audience, but with everybody's information in mind, I think that this is how the fight would go down. I think the fight takes place, I'm gonna say, at 2 a.m. in the Mojave Desert. I think that the Punisher is around a campfire. He has, I'm gonna say, like a mob underling who he is tied up and is in the process of interrogating. He's breaking his fingers. He's smashing his hands with a hammer to get his information about the whereabouts of this mob underling's mob boss. When he's in the process of doing that, a bright light shines out from the desert night sky, and that bright light is from a blaster bolt, and that blaster bolt wings through and just gets a headshot right on that mob underling, killing him immediately. That's right, Cad Bane was standing on a hillside, and that mob underling was somebody who Cad Bane had a bounty on. And the Punisher just happened to be caught in sort of the in-between of this bounty that Cad Bane is seeking. The Punisher does not know this, so he immediately pulls out his M16, sees where the blaster came from, and just starts firing machine gun shots. Cad Bane, realizing that now he's in a fight, this isn't going to be the easy bounty that he thought it was going to be, powers up his rocket boots and starts winging straight for the Punisher. You know, with his double blasters firing, one of the Punisher's M16 bolts, because his aim is so good, catches Cad Bane right in the shoulder, and it damages his armor but does not go through. A few of Cad Bane's blaster bolts, you know, hit the Punisher in his armor, which, you know, shows that Cad Bane and the Punisher are both tough customers from the opposing forces. Cad Bane sees this, starts up his energy shield as he's rushing for this. I'm going to say probably about 2 mile gap between where Cad Bane took the shot and where the Punisher was with this mob underling. The Cad Bane's rocketing toward him. The Punisher sees that his bullets aren't really affecting him, but because he's so great at improvised combat, he points his M16 at a rocky outcropping and ricochets a shot, which hits Cad Bane right in the rocket boots, just destroying his rocket boots, and sends Cad Bane just hitting toward the ground and screeching and skidding in the desert right to the Punisher's feet. So now they are within, I'm going to say, probably a basketball court's distance from each other. Cad Bane's shield has been, dispatched. His rocket boots are no longer in good shape. The Punisher's M16 is out of ammo. They try to take some shots with each other with the Punisher with his Magnum, Cad Bane with his blasters, but they're deflecting each other's bullets and blaster shots in midair. They're out of ammo. They throw their stuff out. Punisher pulls out his knife. Cad Bane pulls out his gauntlet blades. And they just go toe to toe with their bladed weapons. One thing that does happen that is really interesting is that because Cad Bane does have better technology than the Punisher, and the Punisher realizes this very quickly, is that Cad Bane, who's I assume his vibroblade gauntlets can probably deflect lightsaber like strikes, because I think that's just a normal thing in sort of that type of technology in the Star Wars universe, is that he's able to, after a few shots, slice through the Punisher's knife. And the Punisher sees this, and they're close enough for hand-to-hand combat. And he reacts very quickly, seeing that he does not have the same armaments as his opponent. And he, just as Ray said, reaches up and just rips off the tubes on Cad Bane's breathing apparatus. Cad Bane takes a moment, staggers. He can breathe oxygen, so he pulls out one of his gas bombs, throws it on the ground, assuming that it's probably going to knock out both him and the Punisher. But because his gas bombs are so powerful, he assumes that he would wake up earlier. What he does not expect to have happen is the Punisher is just so tough that he's able to muscle through the gas of Cad Bane's gas bomb. He does not go down. Cad Bane does for a moment. The Punisher pulls out the sort of shattered remains of his knife, goes up to Cad Bane, is about to do the killing blow on this intergalactic bounty hunter. And then right as he's about to do that, Toto 360 shows up and knocks Punisher over with a blow. The Punisher is not knocked out, but it just staggers him enough to focus on his new opponent. The Punisher very quickly takes out Toto 360 with a couple of punches. He grabs like some C4 that he has on him, sticks it on Toto 360, activates the C4, pushes him. Toto 360 explodes. The Punisher is fully aware that he's taken out one of his opponents. And then he turns to Cad Bane to finish the job that he started. And he cannot see Cad Bane. Cad Bane is gone. He's in that time reattached his breathing apparatuses and taken a moment to hide somewhere in the desert, perhaps behind a cactus or something like that. As the Punisher is very quickly trying to search for Cad Bane, he passes a large cactus. The Cad Bane steps out from behind him. The Punisher turns around, sees Cad Bane, and right when he's about to throw a punch, Cad Bane activates his electrical devices, electrocuting the Punisher and knocking him out. Punisher is unconscious. Cad Bane picks up the, I'm going to say, disfigured, bullet hole riddled remains of the bounty that he was trying to get, which was the mob boss, gets into his ship, flies off into the night. Cad Bane wins. And the reason that he won is that the Punisher was out for blood. Cad Bane just wanted his bounty. It's not personal to him.
Wow. That is insane. First of all, I got to tell you, I was like, my heart was pounding the entire time you were setting up that story. And then when you got into it, I was so perfectly picturing this race to Canis mental note that we got to give to the production team. We need to set aside some funds to animate everything that Joey Cliff says when he gives a decision in the Who Would Win battle. This was crazy. This was so close. I love the Punisher, but I can see the logic behind Joey Cliff's answer. Race to Canis, I'm sure you're stunned right now. Tell the Legion audience how you feel.
I mean, I don't agree with the decision, because if Cad Bane was knocked out by his own gas, I think it would last longer than the amount of time the Punisher would need to destroy that little robot. I feel like he would still be down. I don't think he would recover in that time. And I also don't think an electrical shock would ever bring down the Punisher based on his large experience against electricity. You know, I love the story. I think it's phenomenal. I think people at home got a real kick out of it. I don't agree with every point of it, but how am I going to argue with Joey Clift and a story that exciting? Well, very easily. And I will do so on Patreon during the third degree.
Listen, as you were talking about this and talking about how the Punisher is breaking the fingers of someone, it just made me want to watch season 3 of Spirit Rangers that much more, thinking maybe there'll be some surprises from this amazing kids show that would just make it that much even more interesting, if that's possible. Joey Clift, there's a reason you're a fan favorite, and I think you just proved it yet again. Thank you so much for coming onto the show and just bringing your judge-like genius to the Who Would Win experience. Until the next time, please tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you and all the great things you do online.
Thanks so much for having me. And I got to say, this was a very close battle, and it really came down to the wire for me as to how to make this decision. And you were joking about Spirit Rangers season 3. I have to say, I wrote our season 3 finale, or I co-wrote our season 3 finale with a fantastic writer named Chris Grenwelge. And I'm just going to say, I really just went balls to the wall and wrote a very insane action sequence for this preschool show. It's a half hour special, and the last 10 minutes of it is basically the Battle of Helm's Deep, but in Spirit Rangers. So if you liked what I said, check that out. I'm really proud of it. You can follow me on Twitter, TikTok, and Blue Sky at JoeyTainment. You can follow me on Instagram and Threads at Joey Clift with 5 or 6 eyes. And then if you want to read some of my recent writing, I just released a op-ed through Salon about a recent experience that I had in a Motel 6 hotel room, or a Motel 6 lobby, where I was trying to book a Garfield hotel suite. And I wrote about the whole experience on Salon. It got featured by like the Wall Street Journal and a bunch of other places. It was very crazy. And yeah, check out my series Gone Native. You can see all the episodes at GoneNative.tv. We recently won a Webby Award, which is really exciting. And I've got some other exciting things that I'm working on that I can't quite talk about right now, but you'll definitely be able to check out in the near future. So follow me on social media and you'll be able to see them.
I love it. Everyone follow everything that Joey Cliff does. Trust me, you will not regret it. Race to Canis. Again, you just brought it unbelievably to this episode. You were very close to getting the win for the Punisher. Fell just a little short, but I don't doubt that next time you're going to be, bring it even bigger and better and harder than ever before. Tell Legion of Audience where they can find you.
Look, I'm going to say right now, I uncharacteristically spent a lot of this afternoon out in the sunlight where I hate to be. And I am extremely dried out, and you can probably hear it in my voice. I left everything out on the table, out in the Mojave Desert, apparently, today. And I did absolutely everything in my power to give Punisher a much-needed victory and a much-needed redemption. I've won some with Punisher. I've lost some with Punisher. I feel like I should have won them all with Punisher, including this battle right here. But I absolutely loved the story. And I will say right now, Joey Clift, if you don't know, is known in LA circles as the Garfield guy. He's wearing a Garfield shirt right now. And when the Garfield movie came out, I was on a list of the social media that had the opportunity to book tickets to go see the Garfield movie at the same time, in the same theater, in the same place that Joey Clift was going. And I unfortunately had another thing already planned that I couldn't get out of at the exact same time. And so I very much regret missing out on this opportunity. And that makes the second biggest regret I have involving Joey Clift in my life, the first one being this decision. Obviously, the Punisher wins. I love the story. I think the story took a couple of liberties that the Punisher would not fall for, but that's okay. That's what stories from judges are all about. As long as they're bringing their A game with the storytelling, I'm told by the board, I have to be okay with it. Well, I'll tell you on Patreon that I'm not okay with it, and I'll tell you why there. But until then, great job, Joey. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316, and you should.
Lots of room on Threads.
Pretty busy. Busier than all the bots on some other social media sites.
It's like the Montana of social media. Lots of
in all that right. It's very big.
It is very big. I think we should all go there. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Racy Canis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.